me. Be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living way, sanctuary. For you. Amen and amen and amen. Just to be a sanctuary for the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back to where we've been reading Revelation 3:12. Maybe we'll get through with this scripture this afternoon and move on. But I never tire of speaking of the Word, and I never tire of hearing of it. So we just keep, you know, keep trying and keep moving on. And it's changed around a little order this morning for the visitors, and, you know, just kind of preached on our thought anyway. And I hope you followed along with me, especially on the part of the begotten. We'll get back to it a little bit later, maybe Wednesday night, but, you know, the begotten, because, see, he was the only begotten. And you got to believe that you are the only begotten. Now, what I mean by that is this way. I believe I'm the only begotten in this building. Now, you got to believe you're the only begotten in this building. See? You understand what I'm saying? You got to believe by the new birth that you're the only begotten that there is. Because that's the way it is, because it's an individual. It's not a group thing, it's an individual, right? Amen. Father, we thank you, we love you. We ask you to just help us now as we speak about you, and just come on the scene, Father, and guide us and give us understanding as to what to say to your people, the purchase of your blood. Bless the sick. You promised it, and we believe it. Just touch each one and deliver, Lord. As the word goes forth, may they receive, Lord, their healing from you. Guide us now and keep us, Lord. Show us thy ways that we may walk therein, in Jesus is your name. Verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Take him back to the foundation, back to the faith of the fathers. What now? And he shall go no more out. You won't be following no more wrong doctrines. You won't be doing nothing like that. You'll stay right with the word. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And I pray that what we've been on has been a blessing to you, and you know, to understand, because that's what we need. And we're not just talking about a name. But the revelation of the person that name is given of. Now, there's just one true and living God, and Jesus is his name. And that way then we're talking about the name of Almighty God, not speaking of the name of somebody that is a representative, but the person of Almighty God, and Jesus is his name. And we'll keep continually going. Maybe one day we'll understand that better. But, you know, right now we'll just continue to the thought. But we've been talking about now the revelation that was given to each age, the salutation that was given to each age, and then coming down to the overcomer and the part that they would receive. All right? Then in the sixth church age, you find that it says in there that thou hast kept my name. Then it goes down to talking about the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name. But see, everybody wants to know what the new name is. Right, I believe, as much as I can ever believe it could be done, I believe that when redemption is over, finished, and you and I are fixing to step out of this world, I believe at that time we could talk about a new name. But 40 years ago, everybody was wanting a new name. They wanted it a Melchizedek or something like that, or a William Branham or some kind of a name. But see, I said then what I say today. If we understand the revelation of the name of Jesus, and that that is the name of God, then we might have an ability to receive what the new name would be. All right? Now, I ask a question of this way for clarification, what I'm talking about. And I said, now, it's not J-E-S-U-S, but you couldn't go in the age of Martin Luther and preach what I did this morning about the name of Jesus. He'd call me a oneness. You couldn't even go back on Azusa Street and preach what I did this morning about the name, because they'd say, you're nothing but a oneness. See? Because they wouldn't have a revelation of what you're talking about. Now, true oneness is what I am. True oneness. True oneness is one true and living God. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true oneness. That's not a oneness doctrine. Now, the Lord willing, when we get on to the next message, maybe Wednesday, you'll see more of that. We'll try to cover some things to try to keep us from making sure we don't fall into the realm of the oneness thought. Because you just keep pushing Jesus, Jesus, and people will fall into that position, you know, to think wrong and just come out and say Jesus only. But now, it's not Jesus only, it's only Jesus. I mean, because His name is the only name that God ever had. Now, we've been through that and been trying to cover it, and we covered some this morning, and just requoting a little of it to keep the line up, that Jesus said, I and my Father are one. We have the same name. I come in my Father's name. Well, then His Father's name was Jesus. All right? So that was easy, it'd be easy to understand. Now see, but then you just say, well, His name is Jesus, but has it been revealed to you? Has it really been revealed to you that that name is Jesus? All right? Now, there was a time you didn't understand one God, right? But yet you called Him Jesus, didn't you? You understand what I'm saying? It's a revelation of the name. It's not to just call a name. It's not to just say something that somebody else says, because that can be easily done. Because the Bible says no man can call Jesus the Christ except it be by the Holy Ghost. All right. See, you cannot say that there's just one true and living God unless that's been revealed to you. You're just saying what somebody else says. You can't say that His name is Jesus unless that's been revealed to you, because if not, you're just saying what somebody else says. To say what the prophet said is wonderful, but when is it going to be revealed to us? All right, now, what I've done on this message was more or less, I want to make sure to just lay it down. I know we covered this Wednesday night, but I want to make sure and bring you the quotes and things of some of the things that I want you to see. And then we can move on, because we want to talk about the new name. Well, tell us what it is. We can just use it. And we'll get in a minute to some of the things that, you know. But how can you find out about the new name unless you know what His name really is? You're just wanting to bypass. You're wanting something that will just give you an instant charge of a great thing to zap you, and you just go out of this world. And to me, the stature of a perfect man is the name of Jesus. Amen. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, etc. That's the name of Jesus. That's the display. As I said, you don't have to. I've seen many people healed that I did not say one word. I just done what the Bible said. But I done it by revelation, and just walk up to somebody and just reach and touch them, and then just walk off and not say a thing and see God heal them. Because you don't have to just keep saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's the revelation you have. When you come in Jesus' name, what does that mean? What does it mean when you say, I come in Jesus' name? That means, that's why the prophet said, I like to, when I go overseas or something, he said, I like to sit down knowing that I come in Jesus' name. Now, what's he talking about? Well, he won't go in Jesus' name. Well, see, a lot of people are being sent around the world today claiming to be going in Jesus' name. But what, to go in Jesus' name means that you know what that name means. You have a revelation of his name. You have a revelation of what he's doing with you to send you. You know where you stand. Then you don't worry about it. You just walk on. No concern. Because I'm going in Jesus' name. If I'm going in Jesus' name, that means Jesus is with me. Now, like Moses going down to Egypt. In other words, he said, go down there, Moses. Who's wanting to go? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what it says at the burning bush. Read it. Paraphrasing what Moses said, he said, I know about the God of Abraham, I know about the God of Isaac, and I know about the God of Jacob. And I know that he done great wonders with them, but I need something real in my heart. I need something personal to me now. So now you tell me, you talk to me about it. Who am I going to go down and tell him? Said, go down and tell him I am. But when they got down there, he started dealing with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, who's going to take out these children of Israel? What did Moses say? I am. Now that's how personal it got. But that didn't mean that God was up yonder somewhere. You understand what I'm reading about trying to get you to see about coming in God's name? That doesn't mean God is up yonder somewhere and you're talking about him. Because he told Moses, he said, Moses, go down. I'll be with you. Brother Branham, in paraphrasing it, one time said it like this. He said, as long as Moses had that stick. You remember the one that was thrown on the ground? He said, as long as he had that stick, said he didn't have to worry about nothing. Because he knowed God was with him. That was just a personal contact. But Moses never tried to get the people to see a God up in heaven. He said he's not up there. He tried to get them to see what was going on right then. And when you and I realize it that away, we'll realize we're here today in Jesus' name. I come today to speak to you in Jesus' name. Meaning one thing. Now, be honest with you, there ain't nobody else going to preach today unless I die of a heart attack and somebody else gets up here in a hurry. So then if we hear of anything from God today, who's it going to come from? Now, can that be that personal without you getting the wrong idea? If you was up here, I'd say the same thing about you. If you're speaking, Danny, I'd say the same thing. That's God's way of speaking to me today. Danny has come in God's name to speak. Right? See, then that's the way you're going in God's name. Do everything like that. And watch everything change. Oh, you start to work. You know, well, I'll tell you what. I'm feeling bad today. I mean, it's pitiful. I got to go to work. You know, man, I'm having problems. I'm down and out. I need to stay home. But see, every day I used to get up. And I admit I've been in the bed many a time at 12 and got up at 4 to go to work. Brushed my hair and combed my teeth. Didn't know where I was half awake or not, but it didn't make no difference. I didn't lay out. I'd go to work and I loved it. I used to be what was called an absentee replacement, which meant I just run different jobs. I didn't have a schedule job. I just run what was everybody was out. I had about, I don't know, 25, 30, 40 people that I had to replace, you know, be able to run their jobs. And I loved it. And I'd go and I'd say, well, now, Lord, who am I going to talk to today? A lot of days I go work with people all day long, not say a word about God. Not even mention the name God whatsoever. Just work with them, talk with them. But then sometimes you just feel that, you know, and you could just start talking, and you just, you know. And see, then I wound up with a reputation. that everybody would even tell you. They say, well, there's one thing about it. He tries to live what he believes. And said, he believes what he believes. You know. And so they would just let me alone, you know. They didn't like me. Some people didn't. I remember one time a feller, he didn't like me at all. And one day he was on the other side of the line, and I was talking about something, you know. And he said, I'll just come over there and bust you. He was mad. I said, wait a minute, what's the matter? I don't like you. I said, well, that's all. I don't like myself. You know, he said, well, I'll just come over and bust you. I said, no, you won't do it. He said, why don't you think I'll come over? I said, because you don't know whether I'll bust you back or not. I said, I'm the only one that knows that. I just stand there laughing at it. He just finally said, forget it. You know? Well, see, I wasn't trying to do nothing with him. I was just trying to show him that, you know, if I had what I had, I wouldn't hit him. But if I didn't have what I had, he'd go have a problem. So he looked at me, I was too big, I guess, to think about anything else. But I enjoyed working. I enjoyed talking to people about the Lord. And I would just talk, and sometimes, like I said, I wouldn't even talk about it all day long. But then sometimes you'd just get that, and I'd just get to work with somebody. Well, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed going to work. I never hated it. I worked when my back was killing me so bad that I couldn't hardly even do anything. Brother Dean would tell you about it. He went one day and got me a weightlifting belt to put on because, you know, I mean, I was just hurting. But I went and I just say, well, who can I talk to, Lord? You know, can I be sent somewhere today to where that, you know, that I can just mention you? And that's just the way I've always been because I believe that you're supposed to be what you are all the time. If you'll go to work that way, it'll be a whole lot different than it will for you going every day as a drudgery. I thank God every day for the fact that He gave me the ability to work. You know, He gave me the ability to get up and go to work and do things. I thank Him for that every day. For my health and strength, I thank Him every day. But see, to go in Jesus' name means that Jesus is sending you. Huh? Now, He said, I come in my Father's name. And what did He say about it? He said, the God that sent Him, is what the prophet said, right? Said, come in Him. Well, go to work, do everything you're doing that away, and it'll come out a whole lot different to where you can say, I'm going in Jesus' name. I'm going to try my best to just be what I can today. Well, that's Jesus on display. Right? And it'll stop a lot of the heartaches and troubles and the mealy mouth idea, you know, and the problems, you know, I got to work. What do you want? You want somebody to give it to you? No. They tell you at work right off top. I had a right to run. I was the highest seniority. I could pick my job, and I wouldn't. But I don't even can tell you. I wouldn't pick it. I'd take the hard job and let other people just goof off and do nothing hardly. Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, I did. And not to make nothing out of myself, but just to be what I am. Yeah. To be what I am all the time. And work and serve God. Brother Branham, I might even fit under the category of where he said the man with a lunch under his arm going to work, see? Because I enjoy it. I enjoy working now. What's wrong with people that are just so lazy? I can't stand it to be sitting around all the time. It just gets on me to be, you know, to just goof off. I like to be up and going and all, because I found that out about, they say the reason that the Jews, when they get at the wall, you know, and they're doing like that, you know, at the Wailing Wall, and they're praying, when they're praying, they believe that God is a God of action. And they don't stop. They believe He's in action. They pray. They keep moving. Well, God is moving in you and I. I get away from our natural life. Okay. But listen, has the name been revealed to you? Or is it just a revelation of your head? A thought of your mind? Can you really say that God's only name is Jesus? That is His name. Can you say that and believe it and know it? Now, I gave you a couple of quotes back that we've done. Where every son comes in His name. All right? Now, watch what we're trying to get to today now. We covered the name of God, where it says, come in my, I'll write upon him. You remember that part that we covered about writing? It's in your forehead. It's in your intelligence. To write. In your intelligence. Revelation. The name of my God, which is Jesus. The name of the city of my God. It says, which is New Jerusalem, but that's not the name. Because the name of the city of my God is Miss Jesus. So it's still Jesus. Because the city of my God is not just Jerusalem, the city. It's the bride of Jesus Christ. The name of my God and the city of my God. But now let's talk about a new name. Now, new name, the prophet said one time, is not a strange thing in the Bible. He said, because it's always been there. There's always been people who had their name changed. We were talking about this morning from Abram to Abraham. Sarah to Sarai to Sarah. Names were changed. It meant something had taken place. Alright. Now, to the overcomer of this age, it's promised. What? When you overcome. Now, you can say, I'm an overcomer. Well, what does that mean now? To overcome means something has been conquered. Right? Something's done away. You're fighting somebody. Now, I know the power of positive thinking, and I know we need to keep a positive attitude, but if it's like somebody said the other day, you know, you, who was it, mentioned about the boxing, said, you know, you're there and you beat all to death, and your nose is bloodied, and your teeth about halfway out, and everything else, and the guy pats you on the back, said, go on in there and get him. You just about got him whooped. He ain't hitting you half as hard now as he was the last time. You're wearing him down. Well, that's not an overcomer. Now, that person just stumbling in there just lost the fight. An overcomer means when you've overcome. The prophet said now, it's not as much what you overcome as it is how you overcome. All right? So now we know there's only one way to be an overcomer. That's to be in Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one that's ever overcome the devil and hell and the grave and death and all the things. He's already overcome that. Now, but that's where our problem is. We don't see that. We don't see it that he has already conquered death, hell, the grave, all the things. We see it still taking effect. But we've got to see that it's already finished. We can't conquer death, and ain't no need to. It's already conquered. You're trying to fight a battle that somebody else has already overcome. Now, he got a new name when he overcame. But see, we don't want to go through the battle and struggle to come out and be an overcomer. And we wouldn't have the character to be able to use a new name. Power without character is satanic, the prophet says. That's what everybody wants. They just want some name, some trick, some lottery ticket they could go buy and win $1 million. That's what people's wanting, right? Nothing to do to work for it. They want somebody to give you everything. I don't. I want to work for what I get. I want to be an overcomer in at least my life of working. See? I guess we'll just raise that away. It's according to how you're raising it. I mean, my mother, I had to talk her into being able to take what you would call welfare money now today. I mean, I had to convince her by money on the page showing her that there was 9 of us kids paying into the government. And surely she could draw a little bit back. She wouldn't take it. That's how people used to be. They wouldn't take what the government was giving them. But see, now everybody just wants everything they can get plus that much more. It shows that it's totally changed in life. But listen, Jesus Christ, sure, received a new name. But he received it when he was an overcomer. And not until he was an overcomer. And until we are an overcomer, don't even think about it. Because we've got to have the name of Jesus correct and get it in Revelation, or we're not even talking about an overcomer. It doesn't say to him that maybe overcomes or one day will overcome, to him that overcometh. To he that overcomes, I'll grant these things. So that if you don't get nothing out of the message today, remember, that's where the problem's at. It's like I told you before about it, that Brother Barker saying that Brother Branham told him one day you'll say the right thing, Brother Fred Barker, years ago. I told him, I said, Brother Fred, you've probably said the thing you're supposed to say 1,000 times. You may have said it 10 times today. It may be by his stripes I'm healed. But see, he wanted some secret. Some secret word. And they told me when I come in the message that Brother Branham, to be able to say that certain word, that his mouth was shaped a certain way. Well, I can go over this way and say boo, or I can go over that way and say boo, or this way and say boo. It all comes out boo. And I'm not joking. It's not the shape of your mouth, it's the shape of your heart. Not even the shape of your head. It's the shape of your heart where you speak from. Because the Bible said, out of the heart, man speaketh. Out of the revelation. Speak back to him to what he says he is to you. And you'll get your healing. That's where you know the name of Jesus is correct. When you can speak back to him. Take back to him what you see him to be in the Word. And don't you worry about it. He'll answer it. But we're just human, all right? But now listen. Let's go back in our studies of what we've been on for a while. And back in Revelation 2:17, which is the second church age, let's just read it. Because I want all this together in one point now. We're going to talk about a new name. I want it together in one message. All right? Verse 17, Revelation 2:17. This is the third church age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. All right now. A new name, written in stone, but only he that receives it knows it. And he can't tell you what it is. What? There's no way for him to be able to tell you what that is, because he and he only knows it and he can't tell it. Now you remember Brother Branham, he used to say a lot like this. He said, we've never had an age like it is. He said, never have we had a time where a man ever had the last letters of his name, H-A-M. He said, until this day. And said, we got a Billy Graham. But said, his name is G-R-A-H-A-M. Said, 6 letters. Said, that's not right, though, because said we got to have one like Abraham. See, A-B-R-A-H-A-M. He said 7 letters. Well, I wonder why somebody didn't jump up and say, what is your name? Now, but Brother Branham never, said, but Billy Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, 6 letters. But now, my name is Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M. He never said that. Show me one time he ever done that. No. Because you can't tell nobody else. Now, if most of you would know the real truth about it, you know that Brother Branham's name was not Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M. It was Braham, B-R-A-H-A-M, six letters. His daddy changed it, put the N in it, and called it Branham. All right? Now, you out there that maybe hadn't heard that, you better check your records. If you don't, call me. We'll find it. See? His name was originally B-R-A-H-A-M. His daddy changed it to Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M. Because right? Only the father can change a name. Like Abram, Abraham. All right. But why didn't somebody get up and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Billy, G-R-A-H-A-M. Who's this talking to us? His name is William Marion Branham. B-R-A-N-H-A-M. Seven. Nobody didn't do that, did they? He didn't do it. You know why? Let's read a few of what Brother Branham had to say on this about a new name. Let's just read a few of them. Go down to number 3. We went through the other, showing every son coming his father's name. Number 3. Look at what's underlined. Read the rest of it together. Tyrian Church Age, 1960, 1208, paragraph 33. And when Jesus overcame, his name was changed, and he would reveal that name. He that would be with him, overcome as he has. Now underline that in your thinking. He that would be with him, overcome as he has, he received a new name. So now only the overcomer can do it. And I'll reveal my new name to him. See, he's going to get a new name. To him that overcometh, is going to get a new name. And then I'll reveal my new name to him. And ever overcomer, I mean among such as them them leaders and so forth. Now all the children of Israel didn't get their name changed, of course. That's right. But those high leaders, when they overcome, they had received a new name. See how it dovetails perfectly. Now watch what he says about it. Pergamon Church Age, number 4 in your notes, 1960, 1217. But this angel of the Lord knowed who he was, a son of God through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when the Nicolaitans set up their leader and put a marble stone at his feet, see, God set up his Holy Spirit leader for his Spirit-filled group, his angels. And it set upon him a seal of a name. But he mustn't reveal it. He must keep it to himself. See, no man knows but himself. Now that's the angel messenger, right? Hidden manna, a stone, a new name that no man knows but he himself. And it was addressed to the angel of the church. I wonder if Luther knew that. I wonder if Wesley knew that. I wonder if the other angels. See, the angel, the messenger to the age, got a name change. When Luther got a message, the message of the just shall live by faith, he got a name change. Huh? He said, I wonder if Luther caught that. All right, go on down then. Tyrian Church Age, 1960, 1208. Then when we noticed then that this angel would receive, the angel of the church age that received the stone, it was a white stone, mean not his own righteousness, but God's own righteousness. And in this stone was a name that no one knowed but the one who received it himself. He knew it, but no one else could know it but him. When you hear these guys flattering you, telling theirs, they're John, they're Paul, they're Mary, they're this, that, or the other, don't you believe it, because if it was, he'd never say nothing about it. See, that's right. He has to keep it to himself. He knowed. No one knowed but he himself. But he knowed because ever perfect overcomer receives a new name in that way. Now he don't brag about it. Look at the next one. Pergamon Church 8, 1960, 1207. Now white rock. He shall have a white rock. This angel shall have a white stone. That's a rock, isn't it? And that's right purity. And he met a man one time, and his name was Simon, and he changed his name to Rock Peter. Why? He had the keys. Is that right? He changed his name and made him a rock. Is that right? Peter had the keys because he was the one who had the keys of the kingdom. A new name written in this rock that nobody knows but he himself. He knows who he is, but he can't tell others. See? No one knows but himself. See, Peter knows he had the keys, but you didn't hear him bragging about it. These guys who brag about what they are is usually nothing. Now, that's plain. That's Brother Branham saying it, not me. A white rock, and it is a new name, not his own name, but he's somebody else, see, that only he himself knows. He's he that's got the rock, the name, the special manna to feed the church. Now, what's the difference in that in the day when everybody wants to be Elijah? Everybody tells you what their name is. But see, this is as honest as I can say it. If God revealed to me what my new name is, I couldn't tell you. Because it's not for you. It has nothing for you. Brother Branham was Elijah. But you show me where he ever said he was. John the Baptist was Elijah. Come on. But when they asked him, was he Elijah? He says no. Because he knew evidently there was five connections to that, and he could only be one of them. But he come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Brother Branham, we call him Elijah. We write on the things, you know, the seventh church age messenger, Elijah. But you see, that's because we think we know who we're talking about. But if you ask Brother Branham, are you Elijah? He'd say, no. Why? Because there was one more to go. If you ask Elijah, who are you? He'd say, I'm what the Bible says about me. Elisha, who are you? I've got a double portion of Elijah's spirit, but I'm not Elijah. John the Baptist, who are you? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but I'm not Elijah. See, because if you said you was Elijah, you'd be all five of them. So he couldn't do it. But he knew who he was. Brother Lee Vail said it about him. That he told Brother Brown when he first met him, said, you know, that you're Malachi 4 and all. He said, let's tell everybody. He said, you can't do it. Well, that'd be right up people's alley, wouldn't it? Oh man, we're going to have Malachi 4 here today. But you see, when somebody starts bragging about who they are, I just read you what the prophet said. Now you argue with him, he said he ain't nothing. Now being truthful, like I've always said about Brother Perry Green, everybody says he's just a brag. No. If he's been to 170 countries, now if he's been to 169, and he says he's been to 170, he's a liar. Right? But if he's been to 170, he ain't lying. See, people ain't never been nowhere. There's one that thinks everybody else is exalted. But you see, anybody that's bragging about, the only bragging I do is about what God has revealed to me. Because there's nothing except what he reveals. But you see somebody bragging, like a certain brother I know in the message, he happened to find him a second wife, and his first wife, they'd had 10 kids, and then he finally divorced her and married another one. His new wife gave him a new name. Well, I guess he did have a new name. He probably daddy number two to another wife or something. But no, he was trying to make it like he was some kind of a great man because his wife had told him what his name was. Now, how did his wife know what his name was? I just read the Bible that he's the only one that knows it and that he can't tell nobody. Brother Dale, what's your new name? I don't know it. If I did, I couldn't tell you. That'd be contrary to the Bible. Because that would be trying to put something of you connected to me that wouldn't be right. You've got to find out who you are. I've never tried to be nothing but what I am. You put up with that, good or bad, because that's just what I am. The way I preach, the way I do, I'm sorry. But that's just what I am. If I tried to be anything else, I wouldn't be me. My name is on display. Sure, there's little churches known of around the world. You want to go back around a service and see all them little dots that you can look at and see where people's listening to this message and see some of these big towns that some of these big preachers are in and find out the whole town is covered with a blot. Somebody's listening. Praise God. But it's not trying to exalt Lula. It's trying to exalt Jesus Christ. To show him who he, I mean show them who he is. It don't make me no more money. It costs us money to send it out instead of making money. I don't get no extra for anybody bragging about my name, so it ain't going to do me no good anyway. Listen, church. Someone thinks there's something and start bragging about it. You watch it. You watch a person when they'll always say, my. You got a problem. I was the one that prayed that prayer. You got a problem. Well, I'm just telling the truth. It was. Well, that's all right if you're just telling the truth. But if you're bragging about it, you got a problem. You see what I'm talking about? If you knew. Now, each church age messenger got a new name. But he got it when he got his message of the age. Luther was not to overcome death. So he was not that kind of overcomer. Luther was to overcome not Catholicism of the Trinity. He brought that out with him. He was only to overcome the Catholicism that was keeping that it was works that was saving you instead of grace and faith. So what is Luther's new name? It had to be connected to grace and faith, wouldn't it? Because that would be the message he preached. His message was a display of his name. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? Brother Brown's message was a display of Elijah. Because that was who he was to be, the fourth time of Elijah coming. For the end time. And his name is displayed around the world. William Branham. See, the world knows that name now. Alright? But see, it's because of the message he preached. William Branham, the healer, was wanted. Everybody wanted him. Oh, that great prophet, just like the Lord Jesus. Everybody wanted the Lord Jesus when he was healing the sick and raising the dead. But when he began to say, I and my Father are one, they got away from him, right? Brother Branham was a very popular man until he began to preach serpent seed, one God, marriage and divorce, etc. And as he did, his name went down to the world. But it went up in glory. Because God had the man on earth to bring the message for you and I, right? This message is a display of Brother Branham's name. Because we are the children of William Branham in the basis of him being our father in the gospel. Right? But I don't like to be called Branhamites because that "ites" on the end of it doesn't work too good. That always got the problem, get the people in trouble because it's always the Hittites and the Jebusites, and Israel was finally called Israelites. I don't like to call them that, because real Israel is not Israelites, because when you get into that problem. But now listen, let's just get to it. Now, this age, number 7, of your notes, this age is the age of the Spirit in promising the hidden manna and a new name written in a white stone. That's the sixth church age. Third church age. Third church age was promised. So it's not a new name that you got to wait over to the seventh and come up and find out about a new name. God starts in that in the beginning. That's what I want you to see. Because on the day of Pentecost, that was the name of Jesus in display. The book of Acts is the act of what? Not the acts of the apostles. They write it on there. It's not. It's the acts of the Holy Ghost in the apostles. It wasn't a display of Peter, James, and John. It was a display of Jesus Christ. His name was on display. That was what they forgot down through the ages, that the name on display was the name of God. They forgot the name of God that way, the revelation of God. And as it did, they come out there saying Jesus and didn't. They thought he's the second person of the Trinity. But you see, when you go somewhere, that's what I tell you. When you go somewhere and people say, where do you go to church? We go to Lula. You're a display. So if you go out there living wrong and doing wrong and they see you all wrong, what do they think Lula is preaching? Right? Same for every church about the country now. What do you think? But now listen. Go down to number 8. This is 2:11 of the church age book. It says here that he is going to give the overcomer a white stone, and in, not on, the stone, a new name, which the owner alone knows. But the idea of a new name is a familiar one. Abram was changed to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, and Saul to Paul. These names either brought about a change or were given because of a change. It was only after Abram and Sarah had their names changed by the Lord that they were made ready to receive the coming son. In Jacob's case, he had to overcome, and then he was called a prince. In the case of Simon and Paul, when they had received the Lord, their change came. And today, each one of us true believers have had a name, had a change in name. We are Christians. It is a name common to all of us. Now, we were covering the messenger of the age getting the name changed. Now, watch, we're going to cover every individual. See? But one day, we will have another change. All right, let's read that now. Today, each one of us as true believers has had a change in name. We're Christians. It is a name common to all of us. But one day, we will have another change. We will of a certainty receive a new name. It could well be that name was our true and original name written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. He knows the name, but we do not. One day at His good pleasure we will know also. So every true believer gets a name change. First as a Christian. Every born again believer gets a name change to a Christian. Then one day now, after what? One day. But one day we will have another change. So now what's that going to do to ones that have died? What's he talking about? So you would think, well, he's just going to come down, we're going to be changed. Now everyone that's born again believer is going to get a name change. Did they receive it here? Did Martin Luther understand what his new name was? No. No. But one day he will. And one day the people of that age will understand their new name too. All right? Once more, 1963, 804A. What have we got, the Pentecostal people today? Too many Rickies. That word Elvis and Ricky, you never heard of that in other days. It's a word. It's the same for this day. It's the name for this day. It goes with this. It means something. You say a name means nothing. And listen to him. You say a name means nothing. Then why did he change Abram's name to Abraham? Why did he change Saul's name to Paul, Simon's to Peter? Why did he change his own name? Why did he change Jacob to Israel? Not until, listen, he wrestled with the Lord. Not until he overcome. And when Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, the Bible said he had a new name. And when Jacob overcome, and if the church can overcome, watch it now, she'll stop saying, I'm Methodist, Baptist, and Presbyterian. When she can overcome her creeds and the world that's drawn her in there, she'll come back to the bride of Jesus Christ, Miss Jesus Christ. You're talking about what a sad sight. Because he was talking about Samson. Abraham restored, 1961, 2:11. Paragraph E 26. And to show him what he was going to do, he changed his name in the 17th chapter. And he changed Sarah's name. That's right. Watch those names mean something. Why did he change Jacob's name to Israel? Why did he change Saul's name to Paul? Why did he do all of those things? After he overcome and entered into glory, he said that his name was changed. In Revelation, it's given a promise to those that overcome. He would make known his new name. That's right. Every time they overcome, they was given a new name. Now you're going over from us getting a new name to him getting a new name. But it's when he overcome. Right? When you overcome, you can talk about a new name. When you have the character of the name of Jesus on display, it's when you're an overcomer. When you have the nature of Jesus Christ on display is when you're an overcomer. When you can say, as Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, you can call yourself an overcomer. But you can't call yourself an overcomer when you're saying, bless God, I got a right. Them people, they run me off the road. I'm just going to run him off the road. That man said something. I had a right to tell him off. No. Where's it at? To him that overcometh. Only when you and I are an overcomer, and that's when we can overcome ourselves. Not overcome ourselves by our natural doings. It's when we can trust in God to let him take out our old nature and our ways. He said, the day I got born again, I didn't have no more temper. Well, why does it say in the stature of a perfect man about 1, 2, 3, 4 up there that you need temperance? Now, that doesn't mean that when you get born again, you go on living like the devil because you didn't get born again. That's just plain as can be. But see, until we come up that stature of a perfect man to brotherly kindness, where we were talking about the other day, about the faith of the fathers, the pillar in the temple of my God, go back to the foundation. When we get to where we can say we're back where the apostles were, then we can be considering of finding out our own name as being changed. Because my name remains until I come up there. Because that's my actions and reactions is causing me not to come up the stature of a perfect man. What do you say? Amen. Come on, wouldn't that be the way to say it? Our actions and reactions is what's keeping us from adoption. Right. Us not acting like our father is what's keeping us from adoption. You don't hear adoption preached anymore because everybody's so high up. But they're not overcomers. When Jesus overcame, he received a new name. Amen. I believe that. We overcome, we'll receive a new name. The new name that we received, the prophet said, could well be the name that we had written, which, you know, it would be on the Lamb's Book of Life. My name on the Lamb's Book of Life might not be Samuel. But see, I'm not worried about it. Because you see, I know Samuel stays with me as long as I'm in the world. And if God revealed to me a new name, I can't tell you what it is. And you can't tell me yours. Well, Brother Dale, I got a new name. I tell, okay, shut up. You don't want more on my new name? No. Yeah, but I don't want to know your new name because you're bragging. If you're bragging, that's not the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He never went around telling who he was. He went around bragging about his father. Brother Branham, that's the point I've been trying to get you to see. He never went around telling who he was. He would tell you what this man will do. He said, when this Elijah comes, this is what he'll do. And he'd stand right there and do the very things. But he didn't say, I'm a prophet. If he did, he'd say, oh, excuse me. He said, that's New Testament preacher. You see, church, it's the overcomer that we need to be. And if we can't overcome, if you sisters have not been able to overcome your dress and your hair and your paint and your face, don't worry about a new name or even your name. Come on, brothers, if you can't overcome the things of the world and the things like that, go around looking like a bunch of hippies and a bunch of garbage cans. Don't think that you're going to talk about anything about a new name. You can't find Jesus doing that. You show me he does. You show me that Jesus said it's all right for you to faint your... Well, I need just a little bit. No. Well, I just trimmed the end. You might as well shave your head. Right? Don't talk about adoption when you can't live a Christian life. All right. Sure, Jesus received a new name. I believe that. I've always believed that. It may sound like that I don't believe it the way that I try to approach it. But no. That's the reason I wanted this all together at one time. Listen to what he says here now. Number 10 on your notes. Page 158 of the seal book. And Jesus, his name on earth was Redeemer. Jesus. When he was on earth, he was the Redeemer. That's true. But when he conquered death and hell and overcame them and ascended on high, he received a new name. That's the reason they holler the way they do and don't get nothing. It'll be revealed in the thunders. You talk to anybody about the seals, go out and try it. Talk to anybody about the seals. You talk to them and try to go through the seals with anything, and you try to get to the seventh and you watch their point. What's his new name? What's his new name? All right, listen. Number 11 on your notes. This is questions and answers on the seal, 1963, 324 in the evening, or excuse me, in the morning, which would be paragraph 471 or page 471. What is the name of the that'll be on the people of Revelations 3:12? Now, the name that would be on the people of Revelations 3:12. Now, that is not Revelations 2:17. They ask him 3:12. What is 3:12? The name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and my new name. Right. So listen, what is the name of that'll be on the people of Revelations 3:12? I don't know. Now I'm pausing for you to think about what he's saying, because everybody thinks Brother Branham understood all about the new name. That he used the new name to do this, he used the new name to do that. that he spoke the storm out of existence, that he spoke the cancer off his wife, he done this thing, I mean the growth out of his wife, all by a new name. Now come on, read Revelation 3:12. That's what they ask him. That what will be the name on the people? He said, I don't know. Yeah, he said, give them a new name. Now he's back on 2:17. Because he said, give them a new name. See, now Brother Branham has jumped back to 2:17. Said, yeah, give them a new name. I don't know what that is. And it'll probably be made known when we get there. But I don't know what it is now. See? He's going to do that. See? He give them a new name that they just know themselves. He did not answer the question. They asked him about 3:12 that had to do with the name and the name on the people. He answered the partial understanding of it, which was back to 2:17. He said, I don't know. Now, here's the point. You say, well, what that was that he didn't know. He didn't know the name that would be on the people. Wonderful. I'm glad you are smart enough to figure that out. How many of you had that thought just now? That he didn't know the name that was on the people. Well, just remember, the name of God and the name of the city of my God is the same. It's Miss Jesus. But he's talking about their name personally to be known, and he didn't know it. He knows the name of the bride because it's Miss Jesus. Okay? Number 12, 3:18 of the Church Age book. And I will write my new name upon him, my new name. When all becomes new, then he will take upon him a new name. And that name will be the name of the bride also. What that name is, none dare. And I've always pronounced that conjure, but it's close enough. And I'll give you the definition if you'd like, because that really the word is conjecture. But conjure is almost the same word. But I was mispronouncing. I knew it said conjecture, but I just always say conjure. In other words, no man dares try to dig it up or find it or hunt it up some way or figure it out. Now, what's he talking about? My new name. When all becomes new, then he will take upon him a new name, and that name will be the name of the bride also. What that name is, none dare conjecture. It would have to be a revelation of the Spirit given so conclusively that none would dare deny it. But no doubt he will leave that revelation to the day when he desires to give that name forth. Suffice it to know that it will be more wonderful than we could ever imagine. You said, well, Brother Dale, that was 1960. I'm sorry. The Church Age book was put out in 1965. That is how the Church Age book, it was put out in 1965. After the seals had been preached. After he said that Jesus would receive a new name. Why didn't he tell what that name is? If he knew the new name and could speak the new name and all of these great miracles happen under a new name, why didn't he answer that question of asking about the name? I don't believe he deliberately done that. I believe the Holy Spirit just pulled his memory and just dropped him right back to 2:17. He went right on. Because Brother Branham could not deliberately lie and deny anything and be the one we claim him to be. But the Holy Spirit could lead the man's mind. But just remember what he says here. He said that name will be the name of the bride. But said when all becomes new. Now watch what it says. 3:18 Church Age book. And I will write my new name upon him. my new name. When all becomes new, then he will take upon him a new name. Didn't say he'd get a new name. He got the new name when he overcome 2,000 years ago. When he went to glory 2,000 years ago, he got the new name. Because he was an overcomer. But it says here he'll take upon him that new name. In other words, he'll make manifest. And when he does, it'll be the name of the bride. So everybody wants some rabbit in a hat trick to find a new name to be able to speak it. Wait until all is made new. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you are not a new creation in your body. When the change of the body comes, you'll be a new creation. Redemption will be over when you and I go into rapture. As far as people being saved, it can be over before then. But redemption goes on until the change of your body. And as long as redemption is being dealt with, the name of Jesus is being dealt with. But I thought Brother Branham spoke this new name. Show me where he said he did. There's one quote I searched for a long time trying to find it, but I couldn't find it in the wording, and so maybe you know where it is. The Brother Branham said, you know that name you was hunting that time? Something to that degree, and I can't find it. I believe Brother Branham was like all human beings. He was wanting something. But for him to say he didn't know what it was, then done dare us try to figure out what it is. Let's wait till all is made new. Let's keep preaching the name Jesus. And then when all is made new for me and you, and we go into rapture, the two prophets going to Israel won't take a new name. They'll take the name of Jesus over there to them. And they'll preach salvation through Jesus Christ. And at the white throne judgment, all that receive eternal life at the white throne judgment, they will receive it under the name of Jesus. And they'll never know what the new name is. Only the bride. Only the bride will ever know what his new name is. Come on. You see what a glorious opportunity is to know our Savior? To know who he is, to know our husband? Didn't the prophet say they'd be a message of cheer down through the endless ages? Don't you think it'll be a great message of cheer when we get there? And he can reveal his new name? But just remember, it'll be your name. That'll be what makes it so happy. Now I'm going to say this way and then I'm going to hush. To be the name of Jesus takes every born-again believer. To be able to have a name, the name Jesus, means every born-again believer is part of that name. That's why God's not complete without you. That's why I believe it's God of this evil age, where the prophet said, he's not complete without you. Danny, he had to wait until you got here. I know Joyce was telling on the watch night that time, she thought 77, everybody talked about it so much, she was scared to death. She thought 77 was going to be it. Couldn't be it, because Danny wasn't here. Donnie wasn't here. June wasn't here. Wade was Baxley. Many of you wasn't here as Christians, right? It's waiting on you to make manifest your part of the body of Christ. And to realize who you are, and then all of our name puts together means the plan of salvation, our redemption, are the children of God, the bride of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So, Brother Dale, what are you saying? I'm saying when all is made new, there'll be a new name. You say, yeah, but I thought it would be that would take us there. That's what everybody else thinks. They think Brother Branham will come back, and that, like the man on the video said, we're going to all go through that room, and when we do, Brother Branham's going to speak our glorified body. Well, that's what he believes. I'm not making fun of him. That's his business. As an American citizen, he has a right to believe that. As a born-again believer, he doesn't. But you see, but Brother Dale, you're not looking for a new name? Some kind of new name you could figure out? No, I can't conjecture or make it up or study it up or bring it up. I can't do that. But it's so simple. So I wish you would listen to the last about five messages I've preached over and over and over. All we know what the name of God is Jesus. Brother Dale's been trying to preach to us about Jesus all of this time. And we know all about Him. Did you know the statement I made this morning? Even after all these years. Did you know that the only begotten is not just referring to Jesus, the human flesh? The only begotten was the Son of God that came out of God in the beginning. The halo, the pillar of fire, the logos, the theophany, did you know that? That's the only begotten, because that's the beginning of the creation of God. The prophet said, we're the continuation of that creation. We'll get to that Wednesday. But yet we want a new name. Just tell me, Brother Dale, something that can make me to where that I can just be a power warrior. Pray. Read your Bible. And ask God to reveal who He is. And there will be the power of Almighty God. The gospel, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation. Not quoting letters on a page. But when you know that name is the name of Jesus and it's Almighty God's name. Be in a big crowd. Be in a big crowd. Say, James Colley. Somebody's calling my name. Right? Everybody else in the group says, somebody's calling your name. Right? Hey, Brother Colley, somebody's calling your name. Why? Because I'm not calling their name. He knows his name. God knows his name, but it's when faith touches that name. A revelation of that name, the name and faith in the name, it says in the book of Acts, is why the man was made whole. It's when you can see that name as the name of Almighty God. But I hope you caught what I said there a while ago. It takes Psalms 139. In continuous was my member's fashion when as yet not perfect. In continuance, one after the other. That's why I was talking about Danny, see? Rapture couldn't come until Danny got here. Amen. Brother Tom used to tell Wade. He said, Wade, we just sat around here waiting on you, boy. When you going to get straightened up? Because we can't go without you. Well, it's the truth. Amen. Right. Well, you see, that's part of the plan of redemption, Danny, and your name has to do with his name. So the name of Jesus couldn't be displayed until your name was put in it. So is it with all of us. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Well, when all is made new, sure, a new name. But just remember, when all is made new, we're not going to stay Miss Jesus and him be Miss Melchizedek or something like that as a name. I'm just making that as a word, see, that people say one day his name will be Melchizedek. Well, when it does, our name will be the same. Why? I read it to you this morning. Because the Bible's still right when it says no man has seen God at any time. We're not going to see God in the correct order until we get there. And when we get there, it won't be a pillar of fire. It won't be a cloud. It'll be a man.
Amen. Right.
And that man is named Jesus.
Amen.
That's the one that I'm expecting to meet me. What about you? Oh, Brother Branham's going to be there and meet me. That's fine, because he's going to introduce me to Christ. He's going to be just exactly like Eliezer was that brought Rebecca to Isaac. He don't go on the honeymoon. But you see, church, that's what I was getting at, because that's part of the next sermon, is that's why I said he was the only begotten of the Father. You've got to be begotten by that same Spirit that was within him to make you a child of God, and then you can say, I am the only begotten. And everybody in the building has got to say, I am the only begotten.
Amen. Right.
Because that's who we are.
Right.
Full of grace and truth. Right. Come on, Brother Boyd. Think on these things. What I wanted to do was just put it down to plain the quotes about the new name. You say, well, just tell us what the new name. That's all I want to know. That's what people are. They want to come to church. Yeah, once a year when they get ready. But they want to come to church and they want you to say, this is my message. We're going to talk on the only begotten. Good night. Boy, we enjoyed that, didn't we? His message was the only begotten. You don't want to sit and listen for somebody to try his heart out to try to get to you. What it's meant by the only begotten.
Amen.
I like that scripture, he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Amen.
Sometimes enduring has to do with seat problems. You know, sitting on a seat somewhere, enduring.
Right.
Until the person gets their point across.
Right.
All right? You see, I still believe faith comes by hearing. I believe Abraham, when his name was changed, there he knew then. Maybe he didn't know before, but he knew how that son was coming once he got that new name. Brother Brown said, Saul's a good name. You know, the Old Testament, he was a good name. He said, but it wasn't good enough for a New Testament apostle. He said, so his name had to be changed to Paul.
Right.
Peter was a good name. But it had to be brought from Simon to get him to Peter when he overcame. How about you and I? Have we overcome yet? It's going to be a hard thing to overcome, Lady of Seal. Like I said this morning, I heard that prophet say that and it really clicked on me. He said them Jews couldn't kill Jesus. He said so they had to turn him over to the law. He said that they can't get to you and I. He said so in the end time, it'll be the law that'll come after us to try to force us to their doctrine. Because it can't be the denominations, because they don't have the right. It'll take the law to bring it. But we're right here at it.
Right.
How close could we be? Opening the door and walking in. Like Brother Biscoll and them said over there in China, they thought everything was running good. They not no problem at all. I said they seen a few strange people maybe mulling around and said all at once cell phones started going off. And he was kind of upset with them from if you listen to him what he was saying. He was kind of upset with them about because they're letting their cell phones go off. He was, in other words, he was probably telling them, hey, cut them cell phones off. I'm still preaching. But all at once, he realized that that was the law. That's all it takes. All you hollering and screaming and bragging won't do no good then. But the revelation of Jesus Christ will. Let's go ahead. Let's stand. 139, Spiral Book. And day as I walk, my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter, the Comforter will come in my name, he said. He abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter is right in me. Thy heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me. He abides. Anybody have a need? Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm so happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit hath control, Jesus satisfies my soul, and Comforter abides in me. Is he? He abides. I want to know that new name. I want to be an overcomer. I want to be capable. I want to have the character, the nature of Jesus Christ. Then I could have the ability of a new name being made known. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides in me. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk for the Comforter abides in me. Let's do that. He abides. Hallelujah. Anybody have a need? I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk, for the Comforter abides in me. Let's do that. I bless your name, Brother Boyd, on number 48. I'm glad somebody put this big old book up here, but I don't have to use my glasses. You know, to be able to read, I don't have to use my glasses to sing with. I like that idea. So let's just sing that number 48 in the other song book. I bless your name, because that's who it is, isn't it? With bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain begin to sing. Their chains were loose, and they were free. What do? I bless your name, do you? I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Now here's where we're at sometimes, isn't it? Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise deep by the chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. Right? We bless your name. We bless your name. We give you honor, give you praise. In the name of Jesus. You are the light, the truth, the way. We bless your name. We bless your name. Who is he? You are the light, the truth, the way. We bless your name. Bless your name. Now listen, church. If you ask me right now to tell you the name of God, I cannot tell you the name of God. You said, what you've done told us is Jesus. That's only words that I can use to describe the person that I'm talking about. It would have to be a revelation to you, personally to you, of that name. See, we preached 2,000 years about it. But it's now being revealed that I couldn't tell you the new name. It would have to be a revelation. Because I can't even tell you the name of Jesus. Well, you said it 4,000 times just recently. That's right. If I said it 5,000 more, that wouldn't reveal nothing to you. But one split second for God to speak to your heart about that name, then all is well. And it's the name you said millions of times maybe in your life. But say it one more time by faith. I receive my healing. I receive my thing there in Jesus' name. That's all it takes. See, there's no way to tell anybody a revelation. I was showing Brother Ernie when we was in Brazil. It's page 1415 of Demonology. I'll bring it and show you. But the prophet's talking about a minister and paraphrasing it in my language. He said, all a minister does is just break the spell that Satan has over your eyes. God speaks straight to your heart. That's all I've tried to do today, was just break the spell of denominationalism that's been over our minds, to where God could speak to the heart. What was put there by the church is what I'm trying to destroy. Mine and yours. To where we can see who Jesus really is. When it strikes, it'll be there. It'll be there, but I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you a revelation. I can't tell you the name. But when God reveals it, nobody can take it away from you. Can anybody come now and convince you that this message is not right? You know, if they can, there's something wrong with you. If they can say to you that Brother Branham wasn't a prophet, there's something wrong with you. I like the way Brother Addison said it. If they even come and said Brother Branham was married a dozen times, had a whole bunch of children, a whole bunch of wives and everything, I'd just say, thank you, Lord, you have used a false prophet to bring the truth to me. But I know he hadn't. So I don't worry about it. See, that's just how I feel. My heart has been turned back to the Word by this end time message. What about you? My heart has been turned back to the Bible. I was thinking yesterday. I was just thinking how much we know of the truth of the Bible. You ever just think about that sometime? Danny, do you think about just what you know today compared to what you knew 10 years ago? Yeah. What you knew, Brother Hal, 40 years ago, but compare it to today of what you know. Vast difference, isn't it? Same God, same message, but it just keeps unfolding. But one day it'll just unfold right into what God wants it to be, and when it does, it'll be over with. There'll be no difference in this day and that day. Just another step. I wish I could tell you that it's going to be a great thing, that it's going to get word, that it's going to be a great move, that it's going to be a... There'll be more and more move among denominationalism than there is among the so-called bride of Christ as far as what it looks like with a natural eye. Because, see, that's God trying you to see whether you'll stay with His Word or not. The Bible even calls it, says, my great army that I sent among you. There in Joel. Now, God didn't send that, did He? He permitted it to come among us to try us. He said those 200,000 demons that was released on the Jews back there to drive them to the homeland. He said 20 years later, there's released on the bride of Jesus Christ to drive her to the message of the hour. Every time you get one of them demons whooped, I can't even count the numbers of how many more standing waiting in line to get to you. And like I've always told you, they're all jockeying for position to see who the big guy is in the group. The one that can take you down. I got out of the union in 1970 because of what the prophet had said. A friend of mine, he was a real friend. We always have been. He still is a friend. I saw him not too long ago at the hospital. I guess when Abby Grace was there. Jackie Dutton saw him. And he come all the way back in to get to talk to me. My wife, he saw her and saw knew who it was, you know. But he told me one day, he said something about it. He said, Sam, he said, it'd be the crowning day of my life is the day I could get you back in the union. I said, Jackie, you'll never be crowned. I said, I love you, buddy, but you just won't never be crowned. I'm sorry. But see, he meant it. He meant it. Because he loved me that much. He was concerned about it. Just like, you ever never noticed people say, as I said the other night, you know, people will say, you got to belong to something. In other words, if you don't belong to something, you ain't going to heaven. You got to have a boat to ride in, a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Branhamite. You got to ride in some kind of boat to get to heaven. No, I'm going to ride on the wings of an eagle through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's my passage. What about you? Father, we thank You. We love You. We pray what we've said has been worthy of it. Truly, when all is made new, then You can make known to us what we have need of. But until that time comes, we don't sit down and lazily wait. We study about You and what You've revealed Yourself unto us and made known through the hours that we're living upon the earth. Lord, as long as the plan of redemption is going forth, then we'll know the name of Jesus is still here. So we praise Your great name. And we ask You now to just reach down in these old bodies. We know that redemption is not over in the basis of the human body being made new. So we ask You through the atonement of what was done there at Calvary for us, the blood that was running down, we ask You to touch, Lord, and deliver this day here from the people. In the name of Jesus Christ, the healing virtues of Calvary. Just let it be made a manifestation. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.